Welcome to Uproot Podcast Edition. To learn more about our show, please visit www.kspc.org/uproot or send an email to publicaffairs@kspc.org.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is Brendan Rowan with Isaac Castema here for the Big Swifty, which is going to be replacing After Hours Politics with the I-Man for this semester as he takes his leave. He is here for one last episode. How you doing, Isaac?
I'm doing all right there, Brendan. As you said, I'm going on medical leave. Been on the radio here at KSBC through one program or another for about two and a half years, so this will be my first break. But I'm leaving in capable hands.
Thank you. And I'll tell you what, it does feel good to be sitting in the big boy seat over here with the control board in front of you and the big blue microphone waving in your face. Today what we're going to do is talk a little bit about the State of the Union, but the Pomona Union, and not the Pomona Student Union, but the Pomona Union, our college, our community, what's going on with it, and how we feel as we bring in the new year and my final semester. So Isaac, I'm going to go ahead and, for tradition's sake, let you take over now, if you want to bring us in with the topics, and I'll respond to you.
Oh, interesting, Brendan. Well, let me tell you, the State of our Union, I wish it was stronger, but I feel that we have the power and the ability as students of this college to perfect our perfect union more here at Pomona College. And so I think that, Brennan, a place to start is us strategizing, foremost identifying what are the key problems, what are the issues at stake here, and then coming up with some thoughtful solutions, perhaps. I really think this could be our moment, similar to what's happening in Egypt now. I think that we're channeling that in a way, and we just to see if the revolution is strong amongst students on these campuses.
Well, I think it definitely is, and that's one thing you see all over college campuses is the revolution, the desire to perfect the world, to change things, to make a better union here on campus, a better union in the country, a better union all over the world. And how do you think we're doing with that right now, Isaac? What's going on campus?
Well, let's say one good story to point to that it seems to have everybody's attention is this student privacy concern. Mm-hmm. I think privacy advocates are a little disturbed at the ability of residential hall advisors to come into what was long considered personal space, so private space. And there was an incident where a sponsor had a bottle of hard liquor in his room, and his door was ajar, and someone spotted a bottle of wine, I believe, and then looked deeper and came across this hard liquor bottle, and that was grounds for suspension from the program. He's actually told that he could no longer be an RA, and so was removed from that position.
Was he an RA or a sponsor?
Our sponsor, excuse me. And of course, sponsors are the individuals on campus who are usually a year older, and they kind of serve as an advisor, someone to help freshman students kind of get into the swing of things here at college. And so it's pretty disruptive when you take away the sponsorship of somebody who is really relied upon by a good group of students here on campus. And so I think that really brought a lot of the privacy concerns to light. There's other issues about public-private space, not just around the issue of drinking, but whether it's recreational drug use or if it's just, wanting to feel that you can be in your room without someone actively pursuing you. I think more than anything, it's having to feel like a criminal just is what people are objecting to. That they want to make sure that the rights are spelled out, and they're not, or at least they're not clear to students if they are clear to anyone. And so I think there's a desire to kind of set up some ground rules surrounding student privacy. Here we're a big residential campus, so I'm not exactly sure what those rules should be, but I think that whatever they are, they need to be clear.
Right, and I agree, and that's one of the things that bothered people. There's a Facebook discussion, as there is always a Facebook discussion, and that's a topic that we'll come back to at some point, if not today, then later. But there's a Facebook discussion about the incident and what had happened, and it seems like a lot of the sponsees that live with this individual are up in arms and very upset, not so much about the consequences of the policy violation, but the fact that the dean made the decision unilaterally, or at least these are the accusations on the web, and they said there's no due process here. What are we trying to do when, you know, somebody walks into a room where the door is slightly ajar? They find some hard alcohol, you know, it's an underage kid, and somebody that is supposed to be an example. So these are all, you know, and this is a problem here. We don't want to say that we're promoting underage drinking. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of contention about underage drinking and a lot of problems with that on college campuses, but you can't just make a decision unilaterally without, I mean, where is J-Board in this? J-Board, for those of you who don't know, is the Pomona College Judicial Board. And they take care of most of the student policy violations, things like that. You know, you steal a chair so that you can have a friend over, you're watching TV, if you forget to put it back, you go to J-Board, right? And they'll talk about it. You figure it out. And they're usually a relatively reasonable organization, from what I've heard. I try to stay far, far away from them. But that's neither here nor there. J-Board wasn't present on this. The decision to de-sponsor was made by... Which dean is it?
Dean Rick Towns.
Rick Towns, right. Made by Dean Towns unilaterally with no consultation of the rest of the sponsor program or his other deans or J-Board. And I think that's what's upsetting people. And what can we do about that?
Well, I think that there's a philosophical... I think you got to spell out how the kind of any type of judicial process works at this college. You know, we have our own set of rules that exist on the student handbook on any number of cases, and you have the college has its set of rules, but of course we live in a society that has another set of rules. I mean, there's actual law, and they have other enforcers, and so what you have is that a lot of these issues are, you know, whether it's drinking or any type of behavior, they kind of crop up where they fit into both a sphere of this violates school policy and then a sphere where it violates, you know, actual United States or California law. And so
right.
You have a situation where, you know, the college feels it's in the best interest of its students while they're here to create to allow some of these judicial proceedings to happen in a system separate from, you know, police officers and you know, I think the American law. So that's why, you know, we don't report underage drinking to the local authorities. We internally make a citation of this student was caught doing XYZ, and there's an internal punishment. But we have these two separate spheres, and it's often to the student's advantage. But I think part of the question is in some of these things where it's like underage drinking, which is relatively big, but, you know, real kind of these bigger issues, is I think that people think, well, if the college is going to handle it and the college is going to make a big deal out of it, then maybe we shouldn't be operating like the rest of the world. So when we have something like this to sponsoring, is this a time, what is our role as a community that's accepting, that is generous? You know, are we really, if we're going to handle this separately and outside of a traditional judicial system that exists in the states or in the country, you know, can we not redesign it any way we want if it's just going to be around internal drama? And I think students want to be able to speak out on this issue. They want to think that we can have a rational process, that we can make our own student code and the way we respond to it as reflective of ideals as opposed to just some big honking mean process.
Right. Well, let's take a look at the webpage here and see what some of the students have to say. It's the information on the site, which is a Facebook public event called SOS Save Our Sponsor, says Monday night, and this is a rehash of what we've already spoken of a little bit, but it says Monday night RAs were walking through dorms, checking for unlocked doors and leaving notes warning about safety concerns. An RA checked Andrew's door, this is the sponsor now, opening the door to see a wine bottle. The RA decided to search his room and found Andrew's collection of hard alcohol. The search constitutes an egregious violation of student privacy. And then it goes on to talk about Andrew's responsibility with drinking, even though I assume as a sophomore he is under the age of 21, although it makes no mention of that on here. And then it says that after speaking with Dean Towns, he was disregarded and informed that he was de-sponsored and had to move out of his room by the end of the day. Towns made the decision unilaterally without consulting the head sponsors, RAs, sponsors, Andrew's sponsees, or even Dean Bedoya. And you can definitely see you know, especially in that last sentence, the desire for a democratic process. You know, I mean, what do Andrew's sponsees have to do with it except for the fact that they were there? They know him better. They can vouch for his character, something like that. So I can see what you're saying, where we want to create a strong community.
Like, you know, if you're going to have alternate rules. So, in other words, the alternate rule here is that they're going to essentially allow underage drinking in some way. At least it will be not punishable as hard as it would in the real system, where it's maybe only like a $100 fine if you have hard liquor. So that type of sanction isn't necessarily the correct legal sanction, but we have that option of applying it. So if you're going to go to the point of kind of instituting your own system of justice, well, then what should be said about that system of justice? And I think that what you have here is that request for democratic process, where they're saying, hey, if we're being governed by our own set of rules. This is not what Congress has decided. This isn't what our local legislature has decided. We have the option here to set up our own system. And so what do we want that system to look like? And I think what you have here is a call for collaboration, a very rational process, fairness, and even, I think, forgiveness, recognition that yes, underage drinking is bad, but we're smart enough to know, oh, tons of people do it. And just because you're caught with having a bottle of liquor does not mean that you're any less qualified, I think, to be a sponsor or to be a motivating and good resource for these kids. And obviously they think this is a quality person that's meant a lot to them. And shouldn't that, in a community like this, come first?
Well, I think the first argument, and I do tend to agree with you, but looking at it from the opposition side, I think one of the first arguments is do we have that kind of community? And what kind of sovereign entity is Pomona College that we can say we're going to selectively enforce this law or selectively enforce that law? Now, obviously, I like to sit back and have a couple of drinks myself, and it's probably not going to come as a surprise that I like to sit back and have a couple of drinks myself before I turn 21, right? Now, don't arrest me, please. But So I think it's nice, right, that the school has this more lenient policy and that they can kind of bend the rules around that. But it opens the door to some troubling things. And that's one of the comments we have on this page here. It says, well, if this was a court of law, the RA's search would probably be illegal, since I don't think seeing a wine bottle in a private space should trigger a search of the room. Now, of course, in this situation, I think the door was left ajar and wasn't closed, which would mean that it's not necessarily a private space. However, with the gotcha program that the RAs have been doing, the doors can be closed. As long as they're unlocked, the RAs come in, they post a little note that says, gotcha, you know, watch out because thefts are rampant on this campus and you need to lock your door. And that's a whole another conversation there, because, like, let's go putting stars on the doors that are left unlocked so that criminals can find them more easily. But again, neither here nor there. I'll try not to digress too far. So he's saying that the RA search would be illegal, which is, I think, in many ways, you can draw a parallel between having illegal searches and allowing illegal drinking. If we're going to break the rules, what can we break? And at what point does it become troubling that we're allowing illegal searches?
Yeah. Well, I think this can work two ways. I think that the other potential option is that there are schools that make it quite explicit when it comes to the rules governing having drinking on, you know, in your personal space, and that if we as a college decided to limit what was personal or private space, then that is also something that I think we have the right to do. The question is, have students on this campus, like you and I, given up our when did we get to be active in the discussion that led to our rooms or our common rooms or bedrooms being public space? That we've had an understanding that we had some sense of security. Although this was a residential campus, we bought in to a residential program that we thought was democratic and pretty gave us a lot of rights. Therefore, that's our expectation. Now, if we wanted to engage in a community discussion where it was determined that, you know, we think it's in our best interest to not have, or to say to not have those rights, to say, yes, RAs, if you suspect liquor, you can go looking in our rooms, well, we have the right to do that, and I think the college is okay to enforce that. But the real issue is I don't think we've given that away. that we value our personal space, and we really don't want the college looking into our rooms like that. We just don't find it necessary. So I think this is part of a big discussion that needs to take place in the future on this campus, and it needs to take place in, I think, a very democratic way where you can have the administrators and students there, but we can feel the encroachment of these rules. I think everybody does here on this campus. I'd be open to launching some pushback.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, yeah, it looks like we got a little studio chatter in the background. You want to get the door? Thank you. I think that it's important to have these discussions in a democratic way, right? And to make sure that there are student voices being involved, and not token student voices either. Not, you know, so-and-so says this and so-and-so says that, and that's great, now we're going to go make a decision. You know, that's not the kind of democracy that works. But again, I'm just a little bit skeptical of the idea that Pomona College can be some kind of sovereign entity that can run around making its own laws. We're part of the city of Claremont. I've seen CPD on campus before. When a party is too loud, Smiley 80s, right, got shut down last year because it was too loud and it bothered people in the community, you know? And if you have rampant underage drinking or drug use, or my freshman year, there was a student that was selling drugs to people in town. Like, at what point does Pomona's quote-unquote right to make their own rules, to make their own laws for our community, start to conflict with the laws of Claremont and the state of California, the county of Los Angeles, our country?
And I think there's not just I think there's that question, and there's also like almost a liability question, where it's, to what extent is it in the interest of the college to have policies that don't sit with state or, you know, or federal law? What is the liability of the college to that? Do they have just a civil or a social responsibility to report the figures or students? You know, I mean, what's one of the most common citations, kind of, that's, you know, people peeing in a bush or something, and that can get someone labeled a sex offender in some states. I mean, that's pretty, you know, rough stuff. And so the college says, well, we don't support that value. We want to be able to, you know, we understand that we're a college campus and kids can be drunk, and so although that behavior is terrible, we're going to treat it differently. We won't necessarily report you to the police. I mean, so that's a tough line to walk. I think that definitely parents perhaps side on the, they want the protection for their students, so they wouldn't want the stupid behavior of their children, like,
right,
Nestle turned over the cops. I think that it is consistent with having a learning environment where you, like Pomona College, and not all colleges are like this, but this is a very, like, a very close community. So I would say I prefer it that way. But you're right. I don't know what kind of right they have to it, and that's really a question for probably legal types.
Well, it's interesting, you know, how that works, and you look at it, and I'm a firm believer in making youthful mistakes and learning from what you do wrong and the mistakes that you make. And I think that it's good to have a safe space where you can say, I got too drunk one time, you know, and hopefully you didn't go get, you know, Becky tattooed on your chest or something, but you get drunk, you make mistakes, you grow up, you learn. But especially in this day and age when everything is so visible, and we've got Facebook everywhere, we've got the internet, we've got in the state where I live, they publish offenses in the newspaper. You know, you open up one day and find out that not only were you arrested for public urination last night, everyone in the town knows about it. You know, so it's interesting. Where can we make these youthful mistakes anymore? And is it the school's responsibility to give us a place to make our mistakes and grow up? Or is that something that they're even able to do? Now, it looks like we're about out of time, so I want to thank you guys for listening. Anyway, so that's the first show for this semester of The Big Swifty with your host, Brendan Rowan. And I want to thank Isaac Castema once again for coming out. And like I said, he's going to be gone. I hope to get him on the phones one day.
That's right. I'll call in, maybe do different voices or something.
That's something to look forward to, then, isn't it?
Keep it engaging.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All right, good luck.
And I hope you all have a wonderful night.
All right, good luck.
Thank you for listening to Uproot. To learn more about our show, please visit www.kspc.org/uproot or send an email to publicaffairs@kspc.org.